Okay, I don't, did you guys get that notification I started recording?
Yes, I heard.
I heard too.
Okay, just so it's up front here on the recording, this is the Wednesday night by Yahweh's Design Family Chat, and we're recording it for in case anybody misses it. And tonight is February 8th. Year 2023, and we've got pretty good attendance already. So, does anybody have anything they want to bring up right away? How about you, Charles? Could you hear me, Charles? Can anybody else hear me?
Pastor Dan, I can hear you.
Can you hear you, Dan?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I haven't heard Charles yet.
Yeah, Charles. I think Charles is temporarily frozen.
Poor baby.
Yeah, he went ahead and signed out, so he's probably got to log back in. Randy, you got anything to bring to the table, buddy?
Everything's good. All is good in the world.
What world?
Things are exactly like the scripture told us it would be like, folks. No big surprise.
We're in hell.
We are. And no big surprise, but Joe Biden, the moron in the White House, has told us, let's ban assault weapons again. Well, typical. We all know they want to take the guns.
That's pretty good for a guy that died 2 years ago.
That's what some say. I have no idea.
I've heard it from several sources. But the guy before, 2 years ago, couldn't remember his name, and I don't even know he knew how to tie his shoes. But this guy talks semi-sense. He's probably got a plastic face.
Well, no doubt I have, well, I mean, not just me, obviously, but many people have the photos of Joe Biden on a production set. I mean, those pictures are real. It is a studio. But it's unfortunate that we all have to go through all of this. So.
Well, it's what Yahweh does when he brings judgment on his people that turn away from him. We deserve everything we're getting.
Oh, absolutely.
Fortunately, it will end for us.
Yeah, a lot of people. I think, Pastor Dan, I think over the years, I think many, many people that have participated in this call have brought this up, that it would ultimately take the people, our people, personally being affected to finally wake them up. Because, I mean, as long as they can live a comfortable life, they just didn't care. But, they're being affected now, aren't they? I hear it everywhere as I go. People talking about all kinds of things that we talked about for years. You know, it's like these people are just now finally getting it. Huh? Better late than never, I guess.
I think you're right, Randy. You're right. We've been saying that for a very long time. It was going to take a lot of pain to get people to wake up, and I believe we've reached the pain threshold to where quite a few people really are waking up now.
I hear people that I work with saying things. And, you know, like, oh, man, you know, the price of eggs or the price of gas. I mean, it's just like, yeah. And it's like when I hear them, I just like, yeah, they're finally starting to get it.
Well,
And we've been telling people for how long, Pastor Dan, that people should prepare for the times.
Oh my gosh, we've been talking about preparations and downsizing for years.
I think I met you probably easily 10 or 15 years ago, maybe. I'm 44 years old now, folks. We've been trying to wake people up for me. I don't know, back it somewhere started around 2000, 2003, I think. I mean, man, we've been trying. It's like, here we are. Now, I'm 44 years old now.
You're just a child there, buddy.
My son's going to be 44 in May, so...
Oh, and good news, Pastor Dan. I'm going to be going into the belly of the beast next week.
Tell us more, Randy. Tell us more.
I'm going to the state convention in Michigan. So definitely keep me in your prayers.
Convention for who?
I'm an elected delegate.
For who? For what group?
Some don't see there being a political solution to all of this, but I won't discount any tactics. I'll use any tactics I can.
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you, Charles.
Okay.
Hi, Charles.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Ella. Melissa. I presume Randy's talking about the Republican Party delegation conference.
Yes, and part of my awakening process, I had been elected during the times. Pastor Dan might remember this. I was elected back during the days of Ron Paul, and when I showed up to the county convention back then, they met me at the front door. They wouldn't let me in. So me and the Republican Party have a pretty shaky past.
Yeah. Might as well try to work with the Democrats.
I get it. I mean, some will see that there's no political solution, but I have to use any and all tactics possible.
Right. I comprehend the desperation, but the Democrat Republican parties are both corporations. Pardon me?
Yeah, we're on the same page.
All right. Well, if we get organized under biblical common law, we can cut off the entire Roman Empire model of jurisdiction that's oppressing us.
I promise you folks this, that I will be showing up with my American Revolutionary Code in the convention. Because to me, this is not a game. This is war.
Right.
And you know, even though I am going to the Republican convention, I will proudly say this, 98% of them have no balls. Because when it came to the lockdowns and all that stuff, they were all guilty. They played the game. They did.
Right. That's why we need.
I always remind people who are Trumpocytes is that Trump is the bastard who started it all. He could have easily stopped the shutdowns, the lockdowns, and it was him who was behind the vaccine from the very beginning with his Operation Warp Speed. So he was never on our side, and for anyone to say he was is a complete blind retard.
Yeah.
Well, also look at it like this. I mean, during the pandemic, these people, kind of looking at a slightly different way, they showed us who they are and what they are. Make no mistake about it. They're willing to shut down businesses, destroy people's lives. So, I mean, I look at it like I'm glad they showed us all who they really are. But now we see them wanting to, like, you know, they're talking about wanting to take our guns. Well, imagine a plandemic with us not having any way to protect ourselves. Think about that nightmare scenario.
Well, you don't have to think about it. Just look at Australia.
Oh, there you go.
Anybody hear about them planning another pandemic?
There's been some talks here and there, but I don't. I mean, you know what's weird? You know what's weird about Michigan? I can go to most places, and like I virtually don't see anybody wearing the mask anymore. But there's something about Midland. That's the world head. That's the world headquarter Dow Chemicals based out of Midland. And you know, you go to like a store there, and there's a lot of people wearing a mask. I don't know what it is about Midland, but there's there's a lot of people wearing a mask there, but most places in Michigan, you just don't see it. But Midland, I don't know. It's a strange town.
Well, that's kind of like here in Florida. You don't hardly see anybody with them anymore. Most businesses don't even make an attempt to try to get you to do it or anything else. I mean, it's very, very little use here.
If a store here would try to tell me I need to wear a mask, I would literally laugh at them and just continue about my business.
When you say here, you have to let people know this is just an audio thing, you know?
Pennsylvania, Northeast Pennsylvania.
But it's like, you know, just so many people, they just went along with it, man, because it's like they didn't want to be the outcast. And it was, you know, like I went into a Walmart, you know, like 98% of the people were wearing them. And I would just simply tell them, like, I have a medical exemption. 9 out of 10 times, it wasn't even an issue. That's all people had to do was say no. That's all they had to do.
Yeah, Randy, I found the same thing out. Shortly after this all started, I was in Virginia helping my brother move from his house when this all came down. So we got stuck up there, and we drove all the way back down, not sure if we were going to be able to make it. And everything we saw along the way, it was almost laughable. We saw the big barricade coming into Florida that made all the news and everything else, and it was an absolute joke. It was nothing. It was just all show. So, you know.
It was such a joke. I took a military gas mask. I mean, this has got the hood and everything, right? And I walked into Walmart with this thing. And the funniest thing about it is I was wearing this mask with no filter. But they would just see the mask and think, oh, yeah, he's good, right? But because that was just my way of poking fun at some of these people. Here I am walking around with a gas mask with no filter. But the whole thing was a joke, folks. I guess everybody listening to this program gets it, but it's just, it's like, wow, did we really live? And this is just a few years ago. We all lived through all this. This is complete craziness.
Randy, have you seen that movie Idiocracy?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've seen that. I don't think so.
If you get a chance, it's older, so it should be free, available on YouTube or BitChute or something like that. But it's not a very well-made movie, but it is kind of comical. But the point of the movie is played out in real life today in this world. So as you're watching the movie, just think about what we've been seeing for the past 3 years, and it fits like a glove. So we literally are in the movie Idiocracy as well as the movie They Live.
Oh, yes, yeah, They Live, that was a good one. But, you know, by their standard and all this hype and all these lies and deceit and propaganda that they were pumping out, I mean, it was such a deadly virus. But, you know, here I am, I'm a truck driver over 20 years, driving all over the country, and I'm not in the greatest shape. But by everything that they were pumping out, I should have flopped over. I should have been flopping over dead. I mean, I was traveling all over the country during this pack, which, I mean, in a sense, I mean, it was kind of nice that a lot of people were hiding in their homes because, I mean, there was virtually little to no traffic out there. I mean, most cities that would typically, you know, have, you know, around 5 p.m. would have rush hours. We drove right through them like it was nothing. It's like everybody got raptured and I got left behind. It was crazy, man. But I traveled all over the country during the craziness, the pandemic. I never lived a day in fear. I went into all these stores, not wearing a mask or just goofing around with my military gas mask with no filter. I was like, most of us could see that it was all BS. And now all this information's coming out like, oh, it's all being exposed. It's like we knew it was all a load of crap. We've known this all along.
To follow up with your comment about Idiocracy is Trotsky himself said one of their plans during the Great Red Wave in Communist Russia was to kill off all the smart Russians so only the dumb ones are left to reproduce so they can control them.
Yeah, they don't want people resisting what they've got. They don't want people armed, that's for sure. Go along, get along, and don't ask questions. That's what they want. Obedient slaves.
Yeah, my brother was reading a book, and he told me it was written by Ayn Rand, A-Y-N, Ayn Rand. She grew up as a young person in Russia during the Bolshevik days, and then she came to the United States, ultra conservative. But she wrote a book about capitalism. Her version of capitalism is not what we see here today. She's very much laissez-faire capitalism in the sense of more like a biblical type version of it. But she talked about in that book on capitalism what the Bolsheviks would do to the Russians, and it's very similar to what Kumri said here. They would take and shame the intelligentsia, either kill them, shame them, or exile them, so that what was left was much more easy to control. So now you can see why they've had they backed all the wars, so that the best of our bravest men were dead on battlefields, and those who were not very good guys were left behind to impregnate the women. And the school system was dumbing down everybody, so pretty soon you've got a docile population. And if anything, the past 3 years proved that their program wasn't completely successful, but it's made a huge dent in our population as far as those that can do any kind of critical thinking. I yield.
Yeah, they would love for us to get into a war with Russia for that reason. Basically, it's like all the other wars. We're just killing our own people off. They'd love that stuff. Matter of fact, Pastor Dan, you may have seen the videos on the internet. They've been out there for a long time. You had John McCain, Senator Lindsey Graham, and some others in the room with the Ukrainians, and they're literally talking about going, we'll go back to Washington and make the case against Russia. Why are these politicians in a room with the foreign military? How's that even legal? Videos out there on YouTube. Politicians in a room with foreign military, literally talking about stirring up trouble between two other countries. Is that not treason?
Everything's upside down, Randy. It's a total dystopia. Hey, John, were you going to bring something up? I think you started to say something at one point. Did you have something you wanted to bring up to us there, John?
Yeah,
Okay, apparently not. Ella, could you put in the chat whether my mic is still bad or is it better?
You sound much okay.
Okay, I had it on automatic setting to where the machine decided the level, so I had to turn that off and go to my own personal setting, so it seems like it's better.
Your voice is real strong, Dan.
Okay, good. Is there any kind of echo right now?
No.
Okay, good. Good. Ralph put in the chat a link to BitChute for the movie Idiocracy, and apparently you can right-click on it. He's got another link that if you right-click on it, you can download the movie. So people should, if you have a computer, you can go to the chat and pick that up from Ralph. But, is that still happening?
Yeah, you still sound a lot louder than the other. When the others talk, I have to turn my volume up to hear them. When you talk, it's very loud, and I have to turn it down so it doesn't shake my ears.
Does anybody else have that issue with my volume on their machine?
Your volume's good on my end.
Huh, that's weird.
That is weird.
Okay. Well, free conference call is not working very well.
As long as we can hear you, that's okay. As long as we can hear you, that's okay. I can adjust mine. Everybody else can hear it evenly. That's fine. I'll just adjust mine.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Okay.
Yep. Is it any better now?
Nope. It's the same as it was before for me.
Okay. Well, maybe it's something on your end. I can't imagine what that would be, but who knows?
Well, I had trouble getting on. Like, I couldn't hear anybody before, so it might be my machine, but I have no buttons to control anything like that, so I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm hearing everyone.
Charles just wrote, Dan is sounding much louder than everyone else. Thank you, Charles. You and I are in the same boat.
Okay. Well, I'll try to talk much softer, a little more effeminate. Is that better?
Then I'll go home.
Please don't. No, please don't.
No, you just sound just the way you always do.
Like that, you could be one of the generals for our liberal army.
If I talk like that and put a dress on, hell, I'll be in the White House.
Well, you'd definitely be the head of the health department.
Or I'll be some ambassador somewhere or something. I mean, we're a laughing joke. I mean, really, I knew we were falling apart, but I never dreamed we'd get this bad. I just never dreamed it would be this bad.
Pastor Dan, you ain't seen nothing yet, man. You ain't seen nothing yet.
But here's the biggest problem I have is not so much that the enemy is doing what they're doing. It's why isn't there open rebellion? That's what I don't understand. Why haven't our people taken to the streets yet?
No leadership.
You think it's just leadership then?
Look, what did they do during the pandemic? The government and all these people said, do this. Not like what, 95% of the population never questioned it at the time. They just went along with it.
That's what it is?
For me, the pandemic showed me just how submissive the people are. They're submissive. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They want to be told what to do, and they will do it.
So do you think divine intervention is the only thing gonna help us out?
Yeah. Yeah, in a very serious kick in the butt rude awakening. Absolutely.
Can I jump in on that?
A lot of these people know more about the sports scores than reality that's all around them, man. I mean, they've always cared about the wrong things.
Yeah, go ahead, Charles.
People know more about the Kardashians than they do their own government locally.
Yeah. Yeah, Charles has a spot.
Right. Thank you, Dan. I'd like to mention that the nature of the government that we're under from the get-go with George Washington was a Roman civil statutory model of government. That the Articles of Confederation were based upon Anglo-American common law tradition, and that was our Protestant tradition, and that had accountability under due process of law up on public servants. But with the 1787-89 Constitution document, that constituted Roman Empire model of top-down authoritarian government with no meaningful accountability from the grassroots bottom up. And that's where everything got more than screwed up, hijacked. It was hijacked by a group of conspiratorial Romanists, probably the Roman Catholic Church, a cabal within it, accompanied by Pharisee Jews. They worked together. The Roman Catholic Church and the Pharisee Jews work together. They're the left hand and the right hand, and they are in conspiracy to hijack our Protestant Christian common law model of government. And they got the camel's nose got in the door in 1789 when they established that civil statutory constitution, and it went downhill from there. How you?
Pastor Dan, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Loud and clear.
This is John down here with Pastor Dan. And Pastor Dan and everyone else listening here, I myself do not see anyone wearing their masks. Maybe a few days ago I only saw two people together in one store, and that was about it after I don't know how many months the last time I saw that before this couple. But there's nobody down here wearing any more masks. And I don't like seeing people wear these masks. I guess you all heard me, right?
Yeah. We heard. You're right.
Okay.
Were you trying to link that with our broader discussion about what we should be doing about that problem with the masks?
Well, yes, I am. But the way I look at it, like I just said, nobody down here in Florida is wearing them. And even if a few of them are still being worn in this country, we're not going to see that.
I didn't comprehend your comment there.
Even if we do see some people, it's going to be very little, but we don't see that really anymore. Nobody's wearing these masks.
Well, you're kind of breaking up there, but if I might take an attempt here, those masks, there may be, a lot of people aren't wearing the masks so much anymore, right? But the precedent has been set. Once the White House start screaming along with the controlled media again about we all got to start wearing our masks again because a new pandemic is coming at us, then everybody's already been shown to be willing to go along with it. So unless we adopt a better game plan, we're going to go down next time they push that panic button. We need to develop a strategy for confronting everybody that is on board with that big, ugly lie and deception.
Well, what I'm seeing here is that we could be possibly going into some kind of a pandemic or whatever they want to call it in the near future. But to call this whole country to wear these masks again, my viewpoint is I don't think the vast majority of people are going to go for that again.
What makes you think that? They did it the last time. What's changed since the last time?
I seriously doubt people will even want to, even if they knew that they were wearing them the first time, I seriously doubt that many of them want to go back there in that route again. That's my belief.
Well, they're all feminized cowards. They don't care. They go along to get along. They've been lobotomized of all of their natural manly instincts. We got to do something, and we can't just hope that, oh, gee, it'll be better next time because now people are smarter. No, no, no. Those of us that have the insight, that are blessed by Yahweh with some degree of insight, need to get our act together because we are the natural leaders of the righteous people in the USA, and we need to develop a strategy for dealing with all of these mobs of mindless drones that just go along to get along and shouldn't even be allowed to vote. They're not qualified electors.
Okay, you're right, but how many people can we actually convince and talk to and an attempt to get them to stop wearing these damn masks? And that's what I did when these masks came out or this COVID bullshit came out. I told people what I thought about the masks, and yet people were telling me to wear a mask. I went into many places without a mask, and there was a time that I can remember I could have been kicked out of one or two stores. But, you know, I stayed and did what I had to do.
Well, good for you, but that's just one instance. We need to develop a larger strategy for dealing with what's coming at us. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get better long term. Yahweh will win. We will come to an Armageddon point, and then Yahweh will win, and his followers will be blessed. But until then, between now and then, it's going to get worse, and we need to get ready for it.
Yep, we need to be prepared for any eventuality. That's what the old Boy Scout motto used to be, is you prepare for the worst in all cases. There was another old saying that says a good soldier prepares for war, but he prays for peace. So everybody should be looking at what's going on today in both ways, knowing that we're on the right side and we're going to win. However, wherever our Heavenly Father leads us and puts certain tools in our toolbox, then we should use those tools to take down this system so that we can resurrect His kingdom on the ashes of this old beat up Babylonian system. But, you know, each person's going to have a different set of assets and tools, and we have to work together and use all of our weapons and do the best that we can, because ultimately it's His plan. This is all going to come to fruition according to His plan. So my personal belief is He wants this system to punish our people right now, because our people have been disobedient. So if he took the fire away then where would our people learn, okay? Why would he bless by taking this away when our people have not repented? So his remnant, who have already repented, they have to do just like Noah and his family did. They have to effectively build an ark that they can separate themselves from the masses that are going to go through the fire. The fire is going to wipe out them, not us. But we just have to develop our system of survival so that we can weather the storm just like Noah did and be ready for when the flood is done wiping out the zombies, and then we can rebuild from there. Did you have something, Randy?
Oh, no, my call had dropped.
Oh, okay. I mean, does that make sense?
If I might respond, Dan, my view is that Yahweh does not directly punish any of his people. I like to focus on the story of Job. Yahweh just removes his protections, and it's the devil that lights a fire under us and tortures us and causes us to move to try to come closer to harmonizing with Yahweh. If we make the right choice, there's two ways that we can choose. We can either choose to reduce our pain and suffering by capitulating to the devil, curse Yahweh. Yeah, that's one way out. Or we can recognize that the devil is the source of all of our problems. In my view, Yahweh is not the source of any of our problems or our pains or our punishments. They all come from the devil. And if we stay loyal to Yahweh, eventually the devil's pains and penalties that we're suffering under will go away, and we will be in blissful in accompaniment with Yahweh and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in their heavenly kingdom. Are you?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, for sure you want to be on the right side of Yahweh's good graces no matter what, because there's a lot of controversy over about whether hell exists, whether the devil exists, because the word devil comes from diablos, which just means an adversary. We can have lots of different adversaries. And today you can see we have lots of adversaries. So regardless of what form they take, we have these adversaries, but we can overcome these adversaries. And if you want to survive, you have to be in his good graces, no matter what the situation is, because my own personal walk has taken me down many, many paths, and I've been in the belly of the beast more than once. So, and each and every time it was his Holy Spirit that was guiding and giving me information on how to survive that. So if he does that for us as individuals, he'll do it for us as a group as well. So you want to have your walk with the Father be the best walk you can possibly have, because there is no greater friend and ally than the Father himself. And when we work in one accord, allowing him to guide what we do, we in effect are his representative, and we are his many-membered body. Remember, it says that in Scripture. It's like we're each a little cell in his body. And when we all work together for the right things, then it's like all the cells of our bodies. When we say we're going to do righteous things, then every cell you've got, from your brain cells to your hands, your feet, your heart, your stomach, they're all working towards good things. So we as a body do the exact same thing. If we decide that we're going to worship him and try to be like him and accomplish good deeds, then we each add to that group effort, and that's what's going to take to survive, and we are going to survive. These zombies out here are not going to survive, but his remnant will survive, absolutely. I yield.
Thank you, Darren.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Quite a debate going in the chat there. Angel said, Yahweh created the devil to create situations which teach us how to live. I think the devil exercised free choice. He was originally perfect, but all perfect beings have free choice. And the devil decided for himself to be evil. Yahweh did. I don't believe Yahweh created the devil to test us. I believe the devil, that this is a real conflict for territorial jurisdiction between God and the devil. And the devil isn't just a creation of God. The devil is, the Satan is more particular. Devil is an ambiguous term, right? But the Satan was decided for himself to embrace evil and tyranny and oppression and lies. Yahweh is incapable of lying. He is truth. He is justice, and he is righteousness. That is the essence of the Holy Spirit of our Creator, Yahweh Jehovah, is he is truth and justice and righteousness. It is not in his spirit to create and put in motion an evil entity. I don't believe anyway. Are you?
Well, I think we can all agree we have adversaries. Like I said, we can have some nice round table discussions about how they got here, what form they take and everything else. But the main thing is you've got two camps. You've got those that want to do righteousness and those that don't. Yeah. You've got those that love the Father and those that don't. You have those who worship him and those that don't. Just like I told a group today, there's only two races talked about in Scripture, Yahweh's remnant, his children, and everybody else. So, you know, this whole racial discussion and argument and everything is moot because there's only two groups of people talked about in Scripture. That's his children who hear his voice and everybody else. So which camp do you want to be in? The one that hears his voice and obeys him, or everyone else? Because what happens to everyone else is not going to be very pleasant. So the answer, of course, is to be in the camp of those that are his sons and daughters that hear his voice and obey him, worship him, pray to him, love him, and he in turn will do the exact same thing for us. So really, just keep it that simple, because that's as simple as it gets. Right. Hi,
you. Thank you, Dan. Ella is posting more, and I don't mean to belabor the issue, but I'd like to draw Ella out there particularly. Does she dispute the account that originally the adversary, Satan, was created as an angel of light? And originally, he was in good standing. That was how God created him. And then, through his own free choice, he decided to go against God's benevolent order and kingdom. Am I misunderstanding there something, Angel?
What was that, Charles?
Am I miscomprehending something that you're writing there?
Now, what you're trying to say is that he did not create he created Satan as a beautiful angel that fell. That's bullshit. Pardon my French. That is from the Book of Enoch. The Book of Enoch is not part of the Bible. The Book of Enoch also teaches in Genesis 6 that the sons of God were fallen angels. That is also BS. The sons of God, according to Luke 3:38, are the sons of Adam. They are the white people. So Genesis 6 is all about the Israelites who descended from Seth, made it up with the pre-Adamites, who were the black and the yellow races, and they performed miscegenation. That was the cause of the flood. It was not because fallen angels came down. And in John 8:44, Yeshua even tells us that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He was never a perfect angel. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 are about Adam as the first king of Babylon. It is not about Satan being a perfect angel and then falling from heaven. That would make God impotent. And I do not believe that. He is all powerful. He commands everything. He does not have any of his created angels fall from his commands and his directions, because he created them to obey him. His angels, so-called, are messenger spirits. They follow Yahweh's orders. They never, ever disobey him, and they never fall from his command. That's why I do not believe the things that the Book of Enoch says about these fallen angels and the way things went in heaven and all that. Because in John 3:13, Yeshua told us that no man has ascended to heaven except he who came down from heaven, and that is Yeshua. There is nobody, not one person, Enoch, Elijah, nobody is in heaven now. They are all in the earth in their grave and remain there until the resurrection. So I do not believe that Satan is a fallen angel. According to Isaiah 45:7, Yahweh himself said, he creates light. He creates darkness. He creates evil. He creates these things for the benefits and teaching of mankind. He is in control of all these things. There are no bad spirits in this world under which Yahweh has no control. They do what he tells them to do. If you read the book of Job, that's exactly how Satan performs. He asks Yahweh if it's okay to do something, and Yahweh says you can do something, but with limitations. So it's always Yahweh that is in charge of us. It is never Satan that does his own will, ever. Okay, I yield.
Wow. I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree there, sister.
I guess so, because I know the truth.
Can I say something about this?
Please.
Okay, angels, and I'm going to call him Lucifer, was his pick, because we all have a pick, right? That was his pride and joy. Now, he created Adam, and he wanted his angels to have reverence for Adam, so therefore jealousy comes in. And could not jealousy have taken over Lucifer, and he started a war in heaven, and he was thrown to earth?
There is no war in heaven. Heaven is here. There's no place up beyond the firmament in the sky that heaven. Heaven is here, but Yahweh is another dimension of here. When he changes or recreates the earth to become heaven, New Jerusalem comes down, it's still on here. We are in heaven now. I mean, we're in the earth heaven. We're not in Yahweh's. And we will never be there till the resurrection. But there is no place that says, the only place in the Bible that mentions Lucifer, I think it's in Isaiah 14 or 16. Lucifer did not refer to Satan or the devil. Lucifer referred to the king of Babylon. That's what that chapter is about. That chapter is not about Lucifer falling from heaven. It's about the king of Babylon falling from Yahweh's commands and doing his own thing. That's exactly what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. He disobeyed. Lucifer is not about Satan. And if you read further and study further, and I've been studying this for 30 years, so I do know what I'm talking about. Don't listen to these pastors and preachers that teach in churches that the Book of Enoch is a great thing and that Genesis 6 is a whole bunch of giants coming down and baby giants are forming. 500-pound angels can come down and conceive a baby with a human woman. I don't think so. I've been an RN for 40 years, and that can't happen. I yield.
The only thing that I would point out is the churches do not like the Book of Enoch because it blows open their entire scam. Enoch, for a long time, used to be part of the Bible. It was the Catholic Church that took it out.
No. The Book of Enoch was never a part of the...
Well, the biblical canon was brought together in 325 A.D. at
Charles, biblical canon means bullshit. The thing is, you can tell if a book belongs in the Bible or not as to whether it agrees or disagrees with the scripture that's in the Bible. The Book of Enoch totally disagrees with what the Bible says.
Well, I beg to
differ with you.
Melissa, I thought you were making good points, and I would like to hear you try to expand a little bit, maybe try to build some middle ground between myself and Angela here.
Well, I think your previous statement, let's agree to disagree, would probably be the best way to go and move forward, because, you know, we all do not think alike. And I'm with you, Charles, and I love Ella, and she has sent me stuff to read, but some things we're not going to agree on. And if we discuss it and it's not going to move anyone forward, no one's going to change their mind, then I think maybe we should go on to another subject unless someone else wants to continue to talk about it.
Well, but you know, I think too, Melissa, you're absolutely right. I have my views on things. And in a family, what we do is if we know the people around us do not agree with what we're saying, we don't bring it up. Because if we bring it up, we'll start an argument. So if you know somebody is dead set against fallen angel stuff and this Lucifer Satan stuff, let's just talk about it. Because we're going to differ and wind up arguing about it. And that's not what we're here for. But it's a good thing that we can talk and argue like that. It shows we're a family.
That's right. And I remember when I went to Pete Peters' camp in Virginia many, many years ago, right after I first learned about identity. And I said something about the two seed lines, and I had the entire bunkhouse surround my bunk to belittle me because Pastor Pete was a single seed liner. And I didn't even know there was such a thing as one seed line and two seed line doctrine. So I just looked at the guys and said, well, Genesis 3:15 makes it pretty damn clear that there's two seed lines at work. Oh no, you're missed. So right there was a division when we were all having a great time and lots of fellowship, some great sermons and great people there like Richard Kelly Hoskins and Earl Jones and Pete Peters and Ted Weiland. And do I agree with those guys on every issue? Absolutely not. In fact, I got face-to-face with Pastor Pete Peters over the seed line thing. And I just let him know that you're not going to convince me, so why don't we just drop it? I'm two seed line because I believe Genesis 3:15, and we can still fellowship, break bread, sit here and listen. We've got enemies trying to kill us. Why are we sitting here putting knives in each other's back when we've got an enemy known as the communists who are going to kill all of us, in case you haven't figured that out yet, whether you're a single seed line, dual seed line, fallen angels, non-fallen angels, it don't matter, because we're all going to be dead if they get their way. So let's focus on what we know to be true, and the rest of it is great fireside chat, get a nice big bowl of homemade vegetable soup and a cup of coffee, and we'll sit out by the bonfire, and we'll have an adult conversation about all of it. That's great. But that's after we beat the enemy and put them all in the ground where they belong. Right now, we need to be preparing for war. We're in the middle of a war, and we have an enemy that has openly said their goal is to kill all of us, because they don't believe anything we're talking about today. They're atheists. They're antichrists. They're anti-Yahweh. And they're anti-us. So the main focus should be on that, making preparations to win this war. And everything outside of those issues is, again, great discussion. And Ella's right. We're adults. We should be able to discuss anything we want to discuss, because there is no censorship in our house, ever. Ever. You can have whatever opinion you want, but we do have to agree on the fact that we're in a war and we need to win this war, and we need to do everything we can to prepare and get involved in this war. I yield.
Thank you, Darren. I'd like to reference the biblical verse where Jesus says that in my Father's house there are many mansions, okay, and that means like separate kingdoms, separate communities. And maybe we won't have the answers to some of these questions until after the Armageddon point is reached, okay? And so as long as we all agree that we're fighting against the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, but the source of the evil, we're fighting against the evil one, the liar, the deceiver, and the murderer, then we can agree on terms in which to work together. But, you know, when we go to our different religious congregations, we should be, in my Father's house, there are different mansions, and different mansions should be able to go ahead and preach different doctrines and explore how those doctrines should unfold in their particular community and refine their doctrines and beliefs. Because one or the other of the factions that are differing on whether or not Yahweh Jehovah is the source of evil and important fundamental issues like that, one or the other of those factions is in error. And the only reason that we're having trouble talking about it in open communities like this, and we got to start forming our separate factions, is because one or the other of those communities is not being reasonable and objective. Maybe it's me. But so far, I haven't heard any arguments where I should be considering that seriously. And so at that point, I guess we'll just agree to have our separate factions within our general jurisdiction here and continue working together on the big project. But when it comes time to discuss fundamental spiritual issues like this, we might as well separate, because we're not going to be able to have a serious discussion about it because one or the other of us is getting too confrontational about it. I yield.
Well, somebody put it in the chat. That's one of the traits of our people, is we're very passionate and we tend to be somewhat headstrong. That's certainly a common trait of an Israelite, but that's also what makes us very strong in other areas. That's why we are the civilizers. We are the explorers. We build kingdoms. We build empires. because we're passionate, because we're headstrong, because we see a vision and we go for it. But what we have to understand is, just like Charles is saying, we're going to have differences of opinion. And you also have to understand that some of this stuff is in an area that's gray, because we don't have all of the information. We're assuming that the scriptures that we hold are 100% accurate. We're assuming that nobody has plagiarized or adulterated the original manuscripts. We are assuming that, because you can't prove that. Now, what I can prove is when the scripture is in line with rational thinking and empirical evidence in front of me. Okay? So when Yahshua said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life, in my life, that has worked out to be 100% true. Okay? When he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, that was 100% true, because in the past 3 years, the root of the tree of evil is always taking you to the same Pharisees, their same money. So those scriptures, you can say, are 100% verifiable, because in the world around me, I can see that. When the scriptures talk about adversaries, yeah, I've got adversaries. Some of them want to kill me. Some of them would like to put me in jail. Some of them would like to put a gag in my mouth. Some of them would like to stab me with a poison. I'm not going to let them do that. And that's the war we have between the children of light and the children of darkness. Now, how the children of darkness got here and who they listened to and everything else, to me, is somewhat inconsequential. They're here. They're my adversary. They're trying to do evil things, and it's my job to stop them. I leave it at that. So, again, we can't assume that we have gotten anything from antiquity that's 100% pure at this point, other than the fact that our relationship with the Father is real time. And that's why I tell people, we get hung up on ancient writings way too much. We have a real time Father, a real time Holy Spirit, a real time fellowship with each other. I have a real time spirit into the family that comes here. Okay, so those things are real. I can feel them, sense them, touch them, taste them. I have no doubt about them. Everything beyond that is conjecture at this point. If we get more evidence, okay, fine. But right now we don't have that. So we need to focus mostly on what we can ascertain to be true, exactly as Christ told us to, with what we can feel and sense right here, right now. That's why he said to test the spirits. He didn't say to go down to 23andMe or any other DNA place that's run by a bunch of Jews. He said, test the spirits. And he said, determine if it's a good tree or a bad tree. That's all I got to do. Is it a good tree or a bad tree? Everybody in Washington, D.C. is a bad tree, as far as I can tell. Most of your state governments are bad trees. The media is bad trees. A lot of people in the medical profession are bad trees. And that's all I need to do. Once I determine they're a bad tree, I need to resist them, fight them, and stand against them. And that's where we get to keep the focus at, that level. Okay, anything beyond that is great discussion, but that's all it is. And that's why he said everything is sufficient for the day. Don't get caught up in genealogies. Don't get caught up in the ancient texts. Don't get caught up in all this side stuff, because you have what you need right in front of you. Within your own senses, you can determine who's a good tree and who's a bad tree, whether it fits. Again, scripture's on our hearts, too. He told us that, didn't he? Okay, what's it mean by that? And he also told us in Thessalonians that the Spirit testifies to the truth. It resonates. When I hear somebody speaking, I get a vibration, if you want to call it that, which is the Spirit. And it will resonate either pro or con of what I'm hearing. So we have those tools, and they're here now. They're for real. We just got to use them. And then avoid all this sidebar stuff that we can fix later when either he's here to describe it to us or he reveals things by, let's say, all the stuff hidden underneath the Vatican is presented. Things that were in the library at Alexandria that have been stolen and hidden away. Okay? So there's a lot of stuff that we don't have. And a lot of stuff we do have is suspect. So again, let's focus on cutting down the bad trees, throwing them into the fire, and building a kingdom based on our Father's law, so that there's peace and prosperity, truth, honesty, decency in this world, instead of this hideousness, which is pretty obvious. Somebody told me, what was it, the Grammys or something that was here the other night? I don't watch that crap, but somebody said it was a pure satanic ritual on some kind of celebrity thing on the Grammys. But everything is that way. The Super Bowl halftime show, a lot of the other shows and stuff with the professional sports and all that. When they opened up the railway there in Europe, that long railroad, they had a big ceremony. It was completely demonic. Completely demonic. So the demons have been let loose, and we're in his camp, and we are to do war, make war with the demon world, whatever form those demons take. Their demon is, again, another Greek word, just means somebody who's against you. So we have lots of people against us, and as we fight this good fight, we're going to line up with each other and edify each other and build each other up, and we're going to end up winning this thing. And the beautiful part of it is the world thinks there's no way we can win. They want us to think there's no way we can win so that we'll give up, when the truth of the matter is, oh, yes, we are. And we are small in number. But just like that meme that I sent out a long time ago, I would rather travel in the company of a few lions than thousands of sheep. Bring me the lions, okay? I want to hang out with the lions. And that's what our family is. We're the lions. We're the tip of the spear. We're the tip of the spear. You're part of the elect for the final days of this latter period of time, the end of this age. You're part of that remnant. So you're the lead dogs. Each and every one of you. You're the lead dogs. You don't have that benefit of looking up ahead and say, hey, wait for me, or grabbing a hold of the tail on the dog in front of you. No, there are no dogs in front of you. You're it. You're out in front of that dog sled team, and you're leading the way, each and every one of us. We have to remember that, because a lot of people, whether you know it or not, a lot of people are watching you, listening to you. The Father's made that very clear to me in the last few months. Many, many people, they may not have said anything to you, and they've been listening to you for 10, 20 years. But they're going to say something to you very soon, because they know in their heart of hearts that we've been telling the truth all along. And these other things that they trusted have been liars and deceivers, and in some cases, murderers. So they're going to wake up here one of these days, and then your job is going to get really difficult, because you're going to have a whole pile of people coming to you for answers. So get ready for that. I yield.
Good commentary, Dan. That was really good.
Thank you. Hey, Melissa, do you want to prepare something to read for us before we adjourn for the evening?
Yeah, I'll read the
What are you going to read?
The Warrior's Prayer.
Oh.
I forget what book that's out of. Heavenly Father, we are your warriors. Prepare us for battle. Today we claim victory over Satan by putting on the full armor of God. We put on the girdle of truth. May we stand firm in the truth of your word so we will not be a victim of Satan's lies. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard our hearts from evil so that we will remain pure and holy, protected under the blood of Yeshua the Christ. We put on the sandals of peace. May we stand firm in the good news of the gospel so your peace will shine through us, be a light for all we encounter. We take the shield of faith. May we be ready for Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit, so we will not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. We put on the helmet of salvation. May we keep our minds focused on you, so Satan will not have a stronghold on our thoughts. We take the sword of the Spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in our hands, so we can expose the tempting words of Satan. By faith, we, your warriors, have put on the whole armor of God. We are prepared to live this day in spiritual victory. In Yahweh's name, so be it.
So be it.
Yep, very good. Thank you. Ralph said Psalm 91 and Psalm 83 to the remnant. Psalm 91, of course, is encouragement for us, and Psalm 83 is a basically imprecatory prayer against the mutants that we're up against. So did anybody have anything in closing before we adjourn for tonight?
Quickly, I think Ella mentioned something about the historical abnormality that there's some Russian historian that has created quite a bit of research that said that there's a missing 1,000 years in our history between now and the Christian era. And in support of that proposition, I'd like to point out the abnormality that according to our traditional history, Jerusalem fell in AD 66, right? That was when the Romans came in and conquered Jerusalem. Exactly. 1,000 years later, the obscured piece of history of the so-called Norman conquest of England happened, 1066 AD. That's how this historical accounts render the situation, the historical record. And that Norman conquest was when England was converted from a Christian common law republic, grassroots community empowered with lots of Christian, Germanic, Anglo-Saxon tribes all over responsibly self-governing. And the king was elected by the consent of the governed. It was a true Israelite common law Anglo-Saxon republic. But and that got taken over and subjugated exactly 1,000 years from, according to the record, the similar event happening in Jerusalem, where the Romans again came in and conquered. They conquered Jerusalem in the Mideast there, the eastern end of the Mediterranean, at exactly 1,000 years different from when England was conquered by the same evil Roman Empire machine. And so there's something to what Ella is saying there about that 1,000 year wrinkle. Maybe I'm conjecturing too much, but when I see things like that syncing up, like exactly 1,000 years difference between those two very significant events, I'm inclined to believe, yeah, there's possibly 1,000 years missing out of our history between now and when our Lord and Savior was crucified. I yield.
Yeah, there are people in the chat would like to know if you know who this Russian guy is. Or anything about him that would help them find it.
He's written a lot. If you spend some time doing some searching on the web, you should be able to find him. There's a lot of conspiracy theory researchers and things like that that are aware of it. And just type word Russian researcher, Russian historian, and missing 1,000 years, things like that. Put them together, and you should be able to come up with some hints. And I could probably find it, but I'm not really highly motivated to right now. That's my short answer.
Okay, well, I'll see if I can find something. I remember reading some time ago something very similar to what you're talking about, so I'll see what I can find out. But if nobody has anything else, then we'll go ahead and I'll say a closing prayer here, and then we'll go ahead and call it the night for tonight. I'm checking something here. Yeah, Ralph, by this time next week, we should be able to, Kumri says he thinks it was history. Here's the thing, folks, come on. We've been lied to from the time we were born, okay? Okay? Right. And probably our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents pretty much lived in a sea of lies, right? Okay? So we have to understand that we're going to find out a lot of things just aren't so. Yep. We were indoctrinated in the public school system. We were not educated. We were indoctrinated.
Right.
And so we're going to find out just how bad we were lied to. You're going to be amazed. I mean, just what we've discovered so far is amazing, but this is the tip of the iceberg. Wait till you find out everything that we've been lied to about, okay? Almost nothing in this world is what we were told. Almost nothing. You live in a fantasy world. You're plugged into a matrix. And we have to unplug from the matrix and plug into our Father and each other and relearn everything. So just keep that in mind. But I'll see what I can find and bring it next week to the discussion. Oh, okay. Kumri said something about Tesla, not a new car, more expensive version, not as durable. Yeah, well, they don't make anything to last anymore, okay? You're better off with something much simpler, much better made, and we have to learn how to be minimalists again. Get back to the basics of cooking your food and making your food at home, homemade this, homemade that, natural fibers, natural fabrics, blah, blah, blah. We got to get back to the way we were made to live. The biblical way, and get away from this artificial. Everything is artificial in their world, okay? They're not real. It's artificial. Artificial intelligence, artificial education, artificial medicine. Everything is artificial. So, Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for allowing us to come together as brothers and sisters. We thank you for your spirit energizing us. And yes, we do tend to sometimes get a little bit passionate about what we've discovered. But that's the nature of us. And with your Holy Spirit as a guidance, we can learn to deal with that with each other so that we form a more perfect union, a more perfect family, that we're going to come through this storm. I'm sure it got rocky on the ark with Noah and his family being cooped up in that place. I'm sure they had a few disputes amongst themselves. We're no different. We're on a bigger arc that's expanding, but we're the same kind of people. We love each other, but we're also very passionate about the things that we've learned. That's just our nature. So help us to be better stewards, better friends, better family members, that the love that we have is going to outshine any controversy, any arguing, any disagreements. As you said in Scripture, forgive 70 times 7. Be willing to take a slap across the cheek in order to keep our fellowship in our family. That's what those verses were for, not for these Amazons and these zombies that walk out in the street. If they slap me, I'm going to knock them over and I'll put a bullet in them if I have to. They don't get the 70 times 7, but my family does. And we have to remember that. So help us in that regard, Father. Open our eyes. Give us good discernment that we can tell truth from fiction. And we hope and pray that the apocalypse, the revealing, is going to continue so that we can have more truth. And we pray for the blessed day that you sit upon the throne again and all of this becomes just secondary, because you are going to hold a scepter of iron. There'll be no dispute over your rules, regulations, and sayings. So we look forward to that. And in the meantime, walk with us and guide us and protect us from our enemies. We pray this in Yahweh's name. Amen.
Amen.